I'm not sure about you, but I feel as though I have a complicated relationship with prayer. I think it started when I was 9 years old and I stayed over at a friend's house. My family was not at all religious, but his was very religious. My family never prayed, but his did all the time. And it was awkward for me being at his house. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know any of the words. So you can imagine my reaction when, just before bed, my friend kneels down and says, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Say it with me if you know it. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Am I going to die here? And what's all this business of taking my soul?" So not a lot of sleep that night. Later in life, I'm not sure if reading the Bible helped me have a better relationship with prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells the church that we should pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, like nonstop. Well, I've got a daily prayer practice, but I've also got a lot of other stuff I've got to do in the day, Paul. And then in seminary, we learn about the history and theory of prayer. We learn about the classic forms of prayer, the collect, the prayer of approach, the prayer of illumination, the prayer of consecration, the epiclesis, also known as the magic hands prayer, the acts prayer. Acts is A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Don't miss a step now. So many prayers for so many occasions. Extemporaneous prayers, meditative prayers, prayers for the sick, prayers for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'm grateful for this knowledge, but it's also a bit overwhelming. It's a lot of pressure, this speaking to God business. And at least for me, self-critique sometimes creeps in. What if I forget the words or just don't know what to say? What if I stumble? What if I miss a step? What happens if I pray wrong? He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." I suppose it is comforting that at least one of the disciples of Jesus also had a complicated relationship to prayer. So the disciple seized the moment and asked Jesus how to pray. Prayer was a foundational part of Jesus' spiritual life. The New Testament is chock full of references of him praying. Luke alone records 8 occurrences: prayers for healing, prayers for when he had to make a big decision, prayers as he approached the end of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayers even on the cross. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as you do. The words commonly used in what we now call the Lord's Prayer come from Matthew, not Luke, but they are similar. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When asked how to pray by his disciples, Jesus does not go into the theory or history of prayer. He does not give a sermon on prayer strategy or a PowerPoint presentation on the 10 most effective prayers. He just starts praying. And he starts praying by first addressing God, the one he calls Father, and not just his Father, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus answers the question of how we should pray by first addressing the one we should pray to. I, like many people, have been watching with confusion and anger and great sadness at the normalization of hate in our politics and media in recent years. I have been watching the descent of our civic discourse into the deepest and most rancid holes of human sin. Racism is a sin, and so is sexism. And so I watched with horror a video of a recent Donald Trump rally where the crowd started chanting, "Send her back, send her back." It was in reference to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a Muslim woman of color. And as was noted in an article on CNN by the theologian Diana Butler Bass, most of the people in the crowd that day and the majority of Trump supporters in general are white Christians. In the article she wrote entitled, "The God of Love Had a Really Bad Week," Butler Bass tried to make sense of this by telling a personal story. She writes of how her and her brother grew up in the same Methodist Sunday school, reading the same Bible stories, singing the same hymns, praying the same prayers, same parents, same church, same Bible. While her understanding of God now revolves around teachings such as the Golden Rule, to do unto others, the Great Commandment to love God and love neighbor, and the peaceable kingdom where justice and equity is possible for all, her brother has traded in that God of love for a tougher, stricter God, one that reinforces his worldview, a God that exercises judgment against all who refuse to bend the knee, a kind of emperor God enthroned in glory. This is the hyper-masculine sovereign, a strongman God, a winner God who triumphs for his people who feel displaced in an increasingly pluralistic and diverse world. Butler Bass says that she and her brother read the same Bible but wound up praying to different gods. The God of love, or the God of triumph. Before we can pray, we need to start by understanding which God we are praying to. Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. This is a Latin phrase that originated with the early church leaders in the 5th century BCE. Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi, translated into English as we pray, so we believe, so we live. Meaning how we pray influences our beliefs, our values, our worldview, which then influences how we live our lives, influences the choices we make every day. This is the essence of St. Paul's message to pray without ceasing. Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. This is true for us, and it was true for Jesus. Prayer was fundamental for him, and so when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, they were also asking to share in his beliefs, his values, his worldview. They were asking how to live as he lives. And so he tells them to pray in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus says that God is intimate, immediate, as close as a loving parent. In praying as Jesus prays, we address the one who knows us completely and loves us as beloved children. As the psalmist writes, You have searched me, Lord, and know me. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God is intimate, immediate, as close as a loving parent. God is here, and God is beyond here, in heaven, in holy mystery, in transcendent moreness. And we address the one whose very name is to be revered, respected, honored. Jesus asks us to pray to the God that knows us completely, but we can ever know in part. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says, My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And for us, this knowledge is humbling. To pray is to be humble before God, to understand that we cannot see all ends, to admit that we cannot do it all on our own, to acknowledge that we exist in relationship with God and with the rest of creation. We are dependent on God and on others for the necessities of life, for our daily bread. Our humility before God leads to our awareness that we all make mistakes, that we need to forgive just as we have been forgiven. Our humility leads to awareness that we are able to be tempted. We are all capable of sin. There is evil in the world, and there is hatred and violence and scapegoating and war. There is evil in the world, and each one of us is capable of participating in evil. But our deliverance is continually offered. Jesus says, Our deliverance is offered by the God who loves us as a child. No matter who we are, where we have been, what we have done, grace is offered. Grace is offered to those who ask. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Grace is offered by the God of love. In her book, To Pray and to Love, Roberta Bondi says that the best way to understand prayer is to do what Jesus did and simply start praying. There is no right way. Prayer is an expression of each of our unique relationship to God, and the specifics of our prayer must honor this unique and unfolding relationship. Out of his relationship to God, Jesus uses the name Father to address God, but we may have other ways or names to speak to our unique and unfolding relationship to God. And as the circumstances of our lives change over time, so too our prayers will change over time. Our prayers will be different when we are in crisis or are in pain. Our prayers will be more immediate and urgent if we are sick or in financial stress or have just lost a loved one. We may cry out for help or healing, and there will be times when we really want a God of triumph, an all-powerful sovereign which can swoop in and fix everything. But a mature faith must also ask what happens in those times when our prayers are not answered, at least not in the ways that we want. What happens when the job is still lost, or the diagnosis we fear still comes in? Then what? What happens when our prayers don't seem to work? Do we assume that we've done something wrong or that we just need to pray harder? Do we think that God has abandoned us? Do we lose faith entirely? It is in these times, the hard times and times of disruption and fear in the Garden of Gethsemane with the cross just over the hill. This is when we are most starkly reminded of the character of the God which we pray to. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is not a vending machine with prayers going in and products coming out. Jesus says that the purpose of prayer is the realization of God's kingdom. While our knowledge will only ever be partial, when we pray, we participate in God's commitment to bring forth a new kind of rain. And the way that rain becomes manifest is not through force. It's not through triumph. In the witness of Jesus Christ, we see that God's response to evil is not judgment against all who refuse to bend the knee. It is solidarity with the oppressed and holy presence with those who are afraid. In the witness of Jesus Christ, we see that God's response to pain of the world is resurrection. God does not erase all suffering. God lives all suffering alongside those who suffer. God does not abandon those who suffer. God transforms suffering into new life. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. If we pray to the God of triumph, we risk developing a fragile faith. Because when things don't go our way, when it doesn't look like our prayers are answered, we will look for scapegoats. We will blame ourselves or blame others. Those who look different, pray different, love different, those from not around here. But if we pray as Jesus did so long ago to the God of love, ours will be a resilient faith. A resilient faith that expects not specific transactional outcomes, but solidarity, comfort, strength, and a power we did not know was possible. Solidarity, comfort, strength, power. These are the fruits of prayer with a resilient faith. Roberta Bondi uses an exercise to envision the spiritual practice of prayer that I invite you to do with me now. Imagine a circle. This circle represents the world, and the center of the circle represents God. Now imagine drawing straight lines from the outside of the circle towards the center. Each line you draw in your mind represents the life of God's, one of God's beloved children. Now pick one of the lines and imagine moving from the outside of the circle towards the center. This movement towards the center is the movement of prayer. It is the action of moving closer to God. So here's the interesting bit. As we move closer to God, others in prayer move closer to God as well. So the closer we come to God, the closer we come to one another. The closer we come to one another, the closer we become to God. Through prayer, we come to see that we are not alone. We are not alone, and we cannot do this on our own. Solidarity, comfort, strength, a power we did not know was possible. We pray to the God of love, praying love into the world, on earth as it is in heaven. As we come closer to God, our prayers, lex orandi, our beliefs, lex credendi, and our actions, lex vivendi, come closer to God's will, which is and will always be the bringing forth of a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom based not on triumph, but on love. May it be so. Amen.